We hear a lot about family values and from all sorts of sources. We hear they are waning. Such kind of talk often is accompanied with other similar phrases like, we don't have good role models for our children. And people have a confused morality as to what's good and what's bad or what isn't right. There's a little sense of direction for people. People don't know what they want to do with their lives or where they want to go with anything. They just kind of live from moment to moment. Well, there's a lot of evidence to back that up. Those words don't just come from oblivion. They seem to have some validity. But I also believe that there is biblical evidence to support these ideas. Not only in the newspapers, but you can read about them in the Bible. So it's not only our times, but really the times of history in which these kinds of things have been happening. Humans have always gotten themselves into trouble because their values were weak, because they lacked direction, because, well, their morality just was more about themselves than it was about others. Well, since it's Mother's Day, I thought I'd talk about family values and our value systems. Now, the fact is that we are here this morning because we claim something about ourselves. We claim that we are, am I ringing something? Oh, in this? We claim that we're followers of Jesus. I like that phrase better than we're Christians. And because of that fact, we know in our hearts certain things. Like I just pointed out to you about our children. You don't have to be very old to know what Jesus wants us to do. And you say, well, where does that come from? It comes from God. Sometimes there are things we just know inside of us, and nobody has to prove it. Now, that doesn't mean that we always do what we know in our hearts to be what Jesus wants us to do. Sometimes we try to figure a way to get around God. But nonetheless, it's my belief, and I think I'm supported by Scripture in this, that we know what's right, and we know what's wrong. And it comes from God. I mean, everybody knows that Jesus wants us to be loving people. Even when you're 2 years old, you know that. And even if your mother never said it to you, you still know it. Huh. We also know we're supposed to be kind. We know we're supposed to be generous. We know we're supposed to tell the truth. We know we're supposed to be forgiving. You can talk about examples, and maybe that's what we do a lot with our children, but it's kind of not the, it's not because we think we have to prove it. It's that we just have to reinforce it. Well, now it's hopeful that our mothers and our fathers remember to reinforce what God has already put within everybody's heart. And that's why we have this holiday, just to remember that one more time. Now, that being done, why is it that we so often screw up? Why is it that bad things happen to good people? Why? Why is it that we wish there were words we could take back that we once said? Why is it that there are actions that we're not proud of that we did? Why is it that there are just some conversations we just really don't want to get into with each other? Well, I was thinking about that, thinking about coming here and whatever I'm going to say on Mother's Day. And I started remembering seagulls. Now, those of you who know me know that I'm a fisherman. I love to go fishing. And I love to go on the big boats that go out in the ocean and fish. And one of the things that I've always liked doing is I like to go to the back of the boat, because that's where you can watch the gulls. The gulls follow the boat from just about the time you go off out into the ocean. They start to gather. They fly along behind you. You know, they'll swoop and they'll swim and they'll go around you. And it's just fun to watch them. But they're doing that on purpose. They're doing that because the first mate is gutting fish and that we're going to use for bait, throwing all the guts in the air. And those birds, they'll catch it in the air, and they're really, really good at it. They're so agile. And after a while, some of the fishermen, they'll be watching this, and they'll take some of these guts, and they'll hold them in their hand. And the bird will fly up and take it right out of your hand. And there's part of that I kind of am amazed by those birds. And I kind of honor them a little and respect them for their persistence and their abilities. But then I notice that sometimes they miss and the stuff falls on the ocean. And you'll see those gulls come down and they'll try to get it from three and four all at the same time. And they'll squawk, and they'll start pecking at each other, and they'll chase each other away, and they'll bite each other. And I started to try to figure out more about the gulls. They're very individualistic. A gull is really in it for me. I got to survive. And the only way I can survive is if I get that piece of bait. And they have a code of ethics. If you're going to be a gull, you got to know that this is what being a gull is like. Survival of the fittest. And if you get in my way, I'll take you out. That's the life of a gull. And they all understand that. That's the way gulls live. Do you know that if you take a gull and you tie a little ribbon around its leg, set it loose with all the rest of the gulls, those gulls, the rest of the gulls, will turn on that one gull with the ribbon around his leg. And with beak and with claw, they will peck at that other bird until it starts to bleed. They will peck at that bird until it's dead. That's the life of the gull. That's not me, is it? No, it's gone. All right. Now, I'm going to talk to you about another bird. The wild goose. You've all seen them. You look up in the sky, and they're all flying up there in the V formation. You know, there's a very strict order to that V. Because the hardest place to fly in that formation is the very head. It's where the most wind resistance is. It's where the hardest effort to fly is right there. And you know who flies there? The strongest one. And what happens is the strongest one will get tired, and then the next strongest one will replace him, and he gets to fall back a little bit in line. And they'll keep doing that. Just like that. And you know who flies at the very end? The old on one side and the young on the other. And well, they're noted for how well they get to where they want to go and how fast they get there and how family-oriented they are. It's just amazing. To me, if I were God in heaven and I wanted to say, which bird of the two represents what I want of my people, I think God would say, I like those geese. They really got it down. Now, that doesn't say that survival of the fittest is such a terrible thing, and all that scrambling for survival is so bad. I understand that, you know, I understand what scientists tell us about survival of the fittest and how we keep species alive and all that kind of stuff. But is that really the way God wants you and me to act? There are some who say yes. They say, don't take it personally, but that's the way life is. And I think Jesus came into the world and say, no, it's not. It doesn't have to be that way. So, I guess we have to love everybody. It's just that there are some behaviors that are better than others. Actually, the better bird for us then, according to Jesus, I think, is the wild geese. The gull is in it for himself. The goose is in it for everybody. What kind of bird are you, my friend? Think about that for a while. Who are you really in it for? What's the real motivator of your life? I think we come here because we say we're trying to do our best to follow what Jesus came from God to teach us to do. I don't think we have to think very long about it. I think God teaches us these basic lessons about life from conception on. I think they're put within our souls. We can deny it. We can think our own logical minds have come up with something that's a little bit better, or that the situation right now merits this special thing that I know I have to do because blah, 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 all the rationalizations of the human mind that can go on and on and on. It's pretty easy, in one sense, to opt out of being loving and kind and generous and truthful and forgiving. We know we should be, but we can often figure out ways to avoid those kind of things. I guess what we're doing is that we're taking a chance that God is going to look the other way for a moment because it seems very logical for us to act a certain way right now in this particular moment. And I think God does. The only thing that God doesn't do, he doesn't take away from us the consequence of a momentary decision. Momentarily. You slap another person in the face, you can pretty much count on some way that person's going to slap you back. That's life. If you steal from another person, you can pretty well count on the fact that somehow, some way, what you have will be taken away from you. I'm not talking about heaven now. Just talking about life itself. If you take away the happiness of another person, eventually it's going to come back upon you and haunt you. You know who hurts the most when we don't forgive another who has hurt us? You know who really suffers? We do ourselves. Because we walk around with a grudge in our heart. We walk around thinking, I have been so mistreated in my life by that person. That person just doesn't deserve a dime. And I'm just going to remember that as long as I live, as if that really hurt that person at all. They don't care. Somebody who has slapped you in the face, they forget about it 5 minutes later. And you might walk around with that slap on your face for 25 years. If you ever met that person, they couldn't even remember they ever did it. That's what God allows to happen. The consequence of our sins are now. Not forever. They're now. Our value system is so important. Why do we do what we do? That's what this day is about. It's honoring God for putting something within us that we really can't throw away. You cannot obey it. But it's always there. It's always God reaching out to us, grabbing us by the coattails and saying, think about this. Think about it. You don't have to be that way. Truth is, that's what a good mother or a good father does for a child. You know, you can use some kind of punishments, but after a while you can't punish a child anymore. You just have to hope that they will open themselves up to what the Spirit of God has been nudging them to do with their life from the very beginning, even before they had mind to reason their way through things. That's what we worship today. That's what we celebrate today. That's what we worship every time we get together in worship. We celebrate God. That God is God. God is in our lives. God is continually pushing us, nudging us, trying to get us to think the right thoughts, to do the right things, to see the world the way He sees it. So for all of you women, and I say that in the total generic sense, women, for those of you who have encouraged somebody to do the right thing, we celebrate the day. And for all of you fathers who have encouraged somebody to do the right thing, we celebrate this day. What, who do we celebrate? We celebrate God that put that spirit within us, and it will always be within us. God will never take it away. You know, that's the promise that God gives us when we baptize our babies, you know. What God really says, after mothers and fathers say, we're going to do our best to bring this child up in the faith, and then we make all of you stand up and you say, yeah, and we're going to help out. We're going to be the kind of place that a child should be brought up. And then God in heaven says, and I will never take my spirit out of this little baby. I will never abandon this baby. It will always be there. I will continue to nudge and to cajole and to say, come, follow me forever. That's what we celebrate. That's what this day is about. We celebrate God Himself and all of His love and all of His forgiveness and all of His kindness and all of His generosity in everything that He asks us to do. God is Himself that way. Believe that gospel. Practice that gospel. Never forget to be thankful for it. And God will lead you into worlds you can't even imagine. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for this day to worship You and to remember the gifts of our salvation and the gifts of our love for one another and the gifts of being Your people. So bless us, Lord, so we can be a blessing amongst everyone. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.